Well, good morning to you and grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful time to be together. And I drove up this morning and had the happy surprise of my wife actually driving down to be with me. I didn't know she was coming, so I'm happy. I'd invite you to open your Bibles up to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, which can be found in the Bibles there before you on page 1037. We're going to be looking at Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. And this is a great quarter for the seminary because there's a lot of activity, particularly evangelistic activity, taking place. You have Dr. O'Neill's class, evangelism class, which I hear is quite large, going out and doing door-to-door work and engaging friends, Andrew Denner, the apologetics class. You have projects to go out and talk to people. My preaching class has the assignment to preach from Isaiah, a evangelistic message that they won't only do here in chapel, but have a requirement to go out and do it. Mercy class is going out in the community. So many people are going out talking about the gospel, and I thought it would be good for us this morning to look at the evangelistic heart of Jesus. And so with that in mind, let's hear him in verse 25 through 30 of Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Our focus will be, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's pray. Father, we ask as we spend this time meditating on your word that you would help us to look more deeply into the heart of our Lord Jesus in this prayer, and particularly this call. And that, Lord, as we look at you, that your Spirit would enable us to be more like you in the way that you care and in the way that you call people to faith in yourself. Bless us to that end, Father, we ask, through Jesus. Amen. Come to me. Come to me. The husband holds out his arms wide, says to his wife, "Come to me." It's looks like an expression of love. If a parent says to a child, "Come to me," there's the expectation of obedience. If a principal walks into a schoolroom and says to a student, "Come to me," or "Come with me," you're thinking there's trouble, and probably so. If a fireman goes into a burning house, a raging fire, and sees a victim, and he says to that one, "Come to me," there's the hope of escape. When we hear our Savior say, "Come to me," to all peoples, "Come to me," there's all of those things and much more in those words. Trouble, the hope of escape, love, the expectancy toward obedience. Christ is calling for people to come to him, to come to him today. And yet many will not. And we know that. Many do not come to Christ because of obstacles that they have placed in their way along that path. And I think these words, as we meditate on them here, that help remove some of those obstacles. As we think about the gospel call going out, Jesus saying, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And just listen to Jesus again. For what we hear Christ really saying in these words is, "Come to me now. Come to me now. There is an urgency in his voice and tone on this occasion. There's an unction here in Jesus calling people to come to him. Because when was he saying these things? Look at verse 25 again. It says, at that time, Jesus declared. And he begins to pray, but it's sort of a public prayer that he expresses to his Father. And then right in the midst of that, he turns around again and he says, come to me. And it says, at that time, we should say, well, what time? Well, the context tells us what time it was. And it's interesting. It's a time when he has been denouncing cities for rejecting him. You go back up to verse 20. He began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. And the cities he's getting ready to name here are up in the north, up near Galilee, where many of his disciples were from. And he's in that area now. And so what we're hearing him say in verses 25 through 30 is with respect to these cities. And look what he had said, hard words he had said to them. Verse 21, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, the ancient enemies of Israel that were destroyed under judgment, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. Those are hard words from the Lord and King of all the earth. And then he speaks to Capernaum. Capernaum was like Christ's second home, his home away from home, where he spent a lot of time. That's where he healed the paralytic that had come down through the roof by his friends and performed many other miracles in that particular city. And he says, you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No. You'll be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you, and talk about insulting someone, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Sodom, Gomorrah, would have remained if they'd seen what you saw. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. He's pronouncing judgment. He's saying, you're hardened to me. And then he says, come to me. Come to me. It's just like the prophets of old. They would speak hard words. They would promise judgment was coming. And then, as you will hear from the book of Isaiah, again and again, you will hear God calling out to those same people, turn to me, be saved. It's like Jonah going to Nineveh and saying, in 40 days, God's going to overthrow this city. It's going to be destroyed. And yet the people respond. They repent, and God brings salvation. Jesus says, come to me now, before it's too late. Come to me. And we are to be those who preach that word. We're to be ready, as the scriptures say, in season and out of season. And I used to think, as I told my students, I used to think that that meant whether I was ready or whether I was not ready, I still had to preach. But I began to realize that's not what it's actually saying. The season there is with respect to the hearers. There are times where people want to hear the gospel and we're to preach the word. And there are many seasons where they're not ready to hear the gospel. And we still have the duty to preach the word, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort them with great patience and instruction and say to them, come to him. Come to Jesus. And we need to be telling people to come, that today is the day of salvation. We need to say to them, if you wait until you're ready to come, you'll never be ready. Come now to Christ. Today is the day to come to him. And if you want to be ready to come and you think, I'll wait to get ready. You know, it reminds me of Sunday mornings. And my daughters, they're never ready. They're never ready. But we are to be preachers, and we are to call people to come, and to come now. We don't know that the time that we speak to them and before we see them again, what will transpire, what will happen. And so we have to say to them, come. We're often too polite with the gospel. We need to say to people, come now to Christ. Remove that obstacle of people thinking they have to be ready. And then hear Christ saying in these words as well, come to me regardless. Come to me regardless. So many people offer reasons for not coming to Christ, for not believing on Jesus. And you've heard them before. Oh, preacher, if you knew what I was like. Oh, preacher, if you'd known what I have done. I've had people say, well, I just don't feel convicted yet. I'm just not ready for this yet. I don't think it's the time for me yet. And I think sometimes when we hear people talking this way, we begin to hold back. And one gospel preacher has said, we need to be careful about this. We need to realize that conviction is not a condition that people need to meet before they can believe in Christ. That rather conviction is the mean God uses to bring them to Christ. And we are just to call them to come. Leave the convicting up to God. We're not to limit our call of the gospel based on what we think men may do, based on what conviction level we think they may have, or even worse yet, whether we think they're the elect or not. You remember Spurgeon's anecdote regarding that. You know, if the elect had a yellow stripe running down their backs, I'd lift their shirt tails up and preach to them. But since they don't have that, I'm going to preach to everyone, because everyone is to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only condition regarding preaching the gospel is that you're just to preach it to sinners. And that means everyone is to hear. Long ago, a preacher pictured the gospel and its offer in this way. He said it's like a marriage covenant that God is holding out to people. Words that come from Christ himself on this covenant, saying on this covenant, I have died so that you may be forgiven of your sins. I have been raised to show my victory over sin and death. And I have been seated at the right hand of God my Father and been given all power so that every blessing can be bestowed upon you through me. And at the bottom of that marriage contract is his name signed in blood. And the preacher long ago said it's like he's offering that contract to you to put your signature right there upon it with his. And yet again, so many people hesitate. Reasons come up for why they can't do it. Again, I'm a sinner. I'm a great sinner. Well, remember what Paul said. I'm the chief of sinners, so you don't have that ranking. And when he said that, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. And yet Christ came into the world to save sinners like that. And if he can save the Apostle Paul, he can save you. You might say, well, I'm lost. I don't really understand all of this. I don't know what's going on in my life. Yeah, you may be lost. But Jesus said he's the one who came to seek and to save the lost. And he wants you to come to him. He may be someone that knows the things of God, but you've wandered away from them because of your love for the things of this world. And you think it's too late, that your loves are too great for God to receive you back. Well, remember the words of Jeremiah the prophet. You have played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again unto me, says the Lord. And you may have some unexpressed burden, something that's just holding you down and holding you back. Jesus says here, come to me. You are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. come to me regardless of what you've done, where you are, what position you're in. Come to me. He tells us to come to him now, to come to him regardless, and listen to him say once again, come to me alone. Come to me, he says. Every time the gospel is preached, there's such a great danger. For every minister of the gospel and every hearer of the gospel, this danger is warned against in Scripture with just a real deadly earnestness. And it's that as the gospel is being offered, that what people are hearing, rather than Christ calling them to come to him, is that they're hearing the voice of the minister really saying, come to me, not him. Come to this church, not Christ. Come to this pet doctrine or distinctive that I have over here that I just really enjoy talking a lot about. And they're not offering Christ. It's so easy to add to the gospel. It's so easy for hearers to think that way as well. That though many would deny, because they might say they have some belief in Christ, but really what they're thinking, what they're trusting in, is not Christ, but something that they're bringing to the table, so to speak. But friends, Jesus says here that he isn't just something tacked on to some lifestyle or some principle or some doctrine. That every doctrine, every principle, everything that comes through a pulpit should be really calling people and drawing people to him ultimately and truly. And he says, come to me and I will give you rest. Now, if there's anything people today need, it is to stop trying and stop running and come to him and find rest. And we all need this. All people need this. Can you imagine? And I hear I'm not making any kind of accusation, but could you imagine a professor somewhere in a seminary without Christ? That for his career, he's been able to, you know, dig insights out of the Word of God, impress people with his abilities to teach and communicate. He's quite articulate and has immaculate pedigree in academics and is well published. Perhaps he's a person, as one has said, that's mastered Calvinism, but Calvinism hasn't mastered him. Can you imagine what a burden a Christless ministry would be like? The shame that he would carry inwardly if he began to realize what he was doing. What would you say to a man like that? Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and let Christ give you that rest you're looking for, that you need. Become a child again before the foot of the cross. Remember that the burden that you're carrying can be laid on Jesus, that he can save Pharisees from themselves. Or could you imagine a seminary student? Perhaps grew up in the church. It's all in his head and on his lips, but it's really not in his heart. He's trusted in knowing the right answer and getting by, but he doesn't really know Christ. And maybe he's gotten a little weary of trying to keep friends and family at bay. He sees other people with true experiences of Christ, and he knows that's missing, but he's ashamed to admit it. What would you say? Come to me. You who are weary and heavy laden, he will give you rest. Look out the window at the neighborhoods that you'll be going to, many of you. And you think about all the burdens that those people out there are carrying. All the heavy ladenness that they have. They're trying to find an answer in any and everything. Look beyond the neighborhood to your own friends and family. What do they need to hear? But these words. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word this morning. And we pray, Father, that first and foremost, that you'd help each one of us come and any burden that we're carrying today, whatever sin, encumbrance that's tangling us up, we bring it to you and ask that you would take it from us once again. Forgive us our sins and our trespasses. And God, please help us to have this kind of a heart of the Savior has, to take your gospel near and far to those who need to hear these words of life. We pray it through Jesus. Amen. We will conclude by singing from Psalm 95, Selection D. 95D. Please stand as we sing.